Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. Happy Mother's Day to y'all. I know there's a lot of mothers here, so happy Mother's Day. It is y'all's day. So we will treat it as such. Today we'll be in Philippians 2, 12, and 13. I think we about wrapped up 12. I just had a little bit of information on that, and then we'll move on to verse 13. So before we begin, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, that means getting back in harmony, in a right relationship, because sin has a tendency to rattle that relationship, and it's called fellowship. And for us, that means all we need to do is confess our sins to God the Father, and we are then cleansed from all unrighteousness, and we can be filled with the Spirit and grow and learn and apply His Word in our lives. So let's go ahead and do that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for everything You do in our lives. We thank You for this special day. We realize that we hold our mothers in a special place, and we know that You protect them, and we just thank You for everything they do, because they do a lot, and even though it's sometimes unsaid and even unheard, it's very well known. So thank You for everything You do, and thank You for this lesson. I pray that we can have clarity and guidance in Your Word and better understand it and grow in it to be able to apply it to ourselves and to others. We thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, Philippians 2:12. I kind of left y'all hanging the other day. I showed two verses, if you remember. There was the Ephesians 2:8-9 passage, and then there was the James 2:24. And I said, you know, some people use the passage, they try to tell you, hey, this is how you're saved by works, but you already know that we have Ephesians 2:8-9. And I kind of left you hanging there, and I said, I give you a hint. One of those passages is talking about salvation, and the other is not. And I thought that was the punchline, but a little bit more information on the James 2 passage. It says, well, we know what the James, I actually don't have a scripture for you, but Ephesians 2:8-9, everyone knows that as a believer, as a Christian. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Here's the James 2:24 passage. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So you can see how those sound like they contradict each other. So when you present the gospel message, a lot of people have this James passage in their mind, and they think, no, it's not by faith alone, because I'm showing you this passage. And the one thing I wanted y'all to think about with that is, as we go through life, as we talk to people about the Word, there's one thing that always you can go back to, is that the Word of God is the Word of God. And with that being said, it means it's perfect. And because God is perfect, it also means that He doesn't contradict Himself. So if these passages are going against each other in meaning, that means the Word can't be the Word. So that means one has to mean one thing and another one has to mean another. There's something going on there. So that's just the logical flow that you need to think about as a believer. If a verse comes in your head and say, that sounds a little off to me. It might be off, and you need to figure out what the other verse or your verse is talking about. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because James is referring to a group of believers that aren't acting like believers. And James is bringing up the fact that there is a justification before men, and there is a justification before God. The justification before men doesn't eternally save you. What it does is it shows your faith as a believer in Jesus Christ, which is what we all want to do. You want to live the Christian way of life, and you want to do as we're supposed to do according to the Word, right? But don't get that confused with justified by God. This is a justification towards men. So I just wanted to make that clear. Anyways, I hope that helped. So let's see. So we got to the end of verse 12. And Philippians 2:12, you see it on the screen. It says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So we talked about this quite a bit, and this is referring to not working for your salvation, but working out your salvation, which means, hey, you've been given salvation, now do something with it, right? God the Father has given us everything we need as qualified believers to grow in that direction. I don't care if you just became a believer or you're a mature believer. You both have the same resources available to you that will allow you to grow, continue to grow. You can go nonstop. If you wanted to be a hardcore, dedicated believer, both of you have the resources to do that. There's absolutely nothing stopping you. And that's what this verse is saying. It's saying, hey, you're a believer, now show up as a responsible believer and live that out. And then it said, with fear and trembling. And that's where we kind of left off with. And what that was referring to was that we maintain a healthy respect for God. All that's saying is maintain a healthy respect for God. And the reason why we need to do that, because it keeps us in tune with our decisions that we make. You know, we all go through day-to-day our life, and we have decisions to make. And if you have this respect, it allows you to evaluate your decisions a lot better. Because you're not only just making the decision, you're also looking forward past the decision and seeing the repercussions of that decision. And it really helps you state, you're in tune with the plan of God, in tune with God. You're realizing, okay, if this happens, then this will happen. There's always kickback for a wrong decision, and there's maybe blessings or doors that open from a positive decision. These are the things that we start to think about instead of spur of the moment, no brain functioning, make a decision type of movement in life. So for believers, it's different, right? We can think about the spiritual aspect of who God is, what's he going to do, because he's always consistent. He's very consistent. Even though the circumstances in our life aren't, God is always going to do the same thing. He will treat you the same. He's always perfect righteousness. He's always pushing love, grace. It's always there every time. So if we know these things and we never forget about the justice of God, that's always in the back of our mind, we can adjust accordingly and make decisions according to that. And this we said this applies to anything in life. Respect. When I respect any man, any woman, I don't care really who you are, honestly. Respect gets you out of a lot of trouble. I'll put it like that. Remember the example that I brought up was when we see a police officer just sitting there, what do? We slow down. We get back in line. Get all in check. See what I mean? If you have a healthy respect for the capabilities of that officer, it helps you out personally. It protects you from going out of the bounds in life. And it's the same thing with God. If I'm a criminal and I know that a city has a real tight policy on crime, they have a hard stance, what am I going to think about before I commit that crime? I'm going to think about that justice system that they have, and it might make me think twice. And that's the concept that I'm talking about. But it's in a more spiritual sense that we know who God is and we know how he works. And so it helps us to make decisions based off that. So, and then the trembling, fear, work out the salvation with fear and trembling. Remember that the word was shaking with fear. It's kind of a funny thought, but I like the definition of it because it kind of brings it home. It's used to describe the anxiety of one who distrusts his ability completely to meet all the requirements, but faithfully does his best to fulfill his duty. That's a lot in there, but it makes perfect sense. When we distrust our own abilities from a deep respect, that means that you can allow, and you're still faithful to fulfill the duty. Well, guess what? If you don't trust yourself, but you know you want to fulfill the duty, you got to go to somebody else. You got to rely on God. You have to. And that's that respect. That's that fear, because we should fear, technically, when we try to get through life on our own, because it never goes the way we want it to go. But when we rely on God, it goes exactly how He wants it to go. And that's how we want it to go. So, and, you know, really, the less we trust ourselves to solve problems, difficulties, accomplish goals, and get through life, the better off we are. Because you guys know we can really turn a problem into a compounded problem if we allow it to. When we take it on ourselves and we can just kind of wrestle with it and we can allow it to fester and turn into more problems. But instead, this is saying you have that deep respect and you don't trust yourself with that problem anymore. So you want to give it to God. You say, here, I can't take care of this. So here, you take this. And that's what that was referring to. So we have a reverence for God that keeps us in tune and alert of what we do and how we respond to various circumstances. And the second part of that was that you realize your own weaknesses. And you also remember about prayer. Prayer is huge in this. We can talk to God like we can talk to our best friend. You can let Him know how you feel. You can let Him know you're not sure what to even pray for. You can just tell Him the situation and say, this is where I'm at. I know you're a God, and I know what you say in your word, and I know it's true, and this is where I'm at on the situation. He honors that if you're in fellowship. If you have already taken care of the sins before you got to prayer, guess what? You've opened that line of communication wide up. Open it up. So don't ever close that off to yourself and think, I'm alone. I have nothing there. Because we have direct access to God. And that's huge. That's a big thing. God hears the believer in fellowship. And, you know, that's one of those things that we have that available to us. Let's use it. Let's use it, because the less you use it, I feel like the less, and throughout the day too, you know, throughout the day, as you come to it, pray about it instead of waiting. I know some of us have a prayer list at night and stuff, and that's good too. But remember, you can always pray during the day or even when you're driving, for that matter. So, and I didn't really mention it on Sunday, but this fear and trembling towards God really has a lot to do with solving problems in general. It really does. If you think about just problems that we come across daily in our lives, this concept of this fear and trembling really does help us in that, because part of growing up spiritually means that we are better able to what? Handle difficult situations. And that's what we got to get used to. That's what we have to get better at. That's what we have to mold and sharpen ourselves to be able to handle, is to get better at handling difficult situations. And when we do that, they become less difficult. That's one of the great things about the spiritual life, is we have everything here that He provided. And what it does as we grow, as we continue in the spiritual life, is all of a sudden you can handle a problem differently than you could back then. And you can even see it in yourself. You say, I think about things differently, and that's not a problem for me like it was back here. So this fear and trembling from the respect and the distrusting in yourself will allow you to solve problems in your life. And that's huge. That's a big deal. And so when you hear these words and what they mean, don't just leave it at that, fear and trembling. You know, we have to, we take it for what it is. It's the word. And this is real life. It's usable spiritual value, and it can solve problems. It can solve problems. You know, a lot of times we come to church, we listen, and we leave, but this is applicational type of information. I'm telling you, this is stuff you can take, use, and actually allow yourself to have more joy, happiness. Because really what brings dissatisfaction and not having happiness is the ability to not be content in your circumstances. But this allows you to do that, is what it does. It allows you to do that. So, and who doesn't need that, right? Less stress is always good in anybody's life. So, verse 13. And I can read it for you on the screen. It says, "For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Don't we need that? This verse. "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." So there's a lot here. But remember, first, we're told to work it out. Work out your salvation by living the spiritual life. And now we can see that, what does it say? "For it is God who is working in you." It's God. You see who's doing the work here? God. God is both to will and to work for His good. For His good. Well, wait a minute. You told me to work it out, and now you're telling me I don't have to do anything? Yes. In a way, yes. We'll see what this means, but you know, we got to ask yourself, well, am I missing something here? Nope, you are not missing anything. Work it out, if you remember in verse 12, was in the passive voice. This is just bringing that out. Subject, which is you, is receiving the action of the working. So yes, we are commanded. Remember, that was an imperative to work it out by God, but it was in the passive voice. It's received. This is something that's received. So in order to bring this out, let's see what this is talking about. That was a command. So there is still a sense of duty, because God wouldn't give a command if there wasn't something that we had to do. We have to make the decisions in the right direction. We got to. Or else this isn't going to work at all. Because we can all just not do it. That's fair game. God gave us that ability to just decide not to. But at the same time, that's why He did command it. Because He wants us to move that direction. Remember, commands from God, I always like them, because we should think of them not as a father commands a child as the child thinks about it. The child's just like, oh, they just want to hurt me. They're just punishing me. They're just doing it for my own, you know. But commands are always rooted in love. God wants to show us, and He wants to provide things for us in certain ways. But in order to do that, sometimes He has to be a little more forceful in the way He does it. Because I don't understand all the time that this is supposed to be something that's brought out. So the Word of God does that. He says, this is a command. I say, okay, so we're supposed to do that. And I usually understand that the reason why we're supposed to do that is not because he's just trying to say, you know, you do this. No, he loves us. And he wants to see only the top notch from you. Remember, he's trying to mold you to that person that can handle the tough situations, that can be in that situation and be like, not a problem. It's not me working out the situation. It's God. It's God. But in order to get you to that point, he's got to do commands throughout the scripture. There's a lot of different imperative moods, and his word definitely does show us why they're there as well. So he explains it, but as long as we know that. So there's a sense of duty to go in this direction, to have that positive momentum up towards spiritual maturity. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Listen to this. This is the same concept here. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Did you hear that? There was a key word on how we're doing all that. And it was one word. Faith. Faith. It said, I live by faith in the Son of God. Do you see who's working everything out? Because faith is a tunnel. When you trust somebody, you're opening up that tunnel to allow them to do what you trust them to do. That's what you're doing. You're saying, okay, I accept your word and I know it's true and I know you're going to do what you say you're going to do. So that's the moment that you can live by faith in the Son of God. That's how. Faith. Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God right here in Galatians 2:20. And this is bringing up, something that we are all very aware of. I understand that. Faith. But at the same time, we got to realize what's going on here, that there's no credit to the one expressing faith, which is us. We know that. We've heard faith is a non-meritorious system. There's no merit to me. But this is bringing that out, really, because it is God who is working in you both to will and to work. And then we're talking about faith functioning in the background. Your faith has to be wide open. And I realize that our faith falters. Our faith wavers. That's part of growing up. Because when you get to that next adverse situation or that difficulty in your life, it's there because it's designed to test you. And what that also tests is your maximum capabilities spiritually. So your faith is going to have a tendency to, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, whoa, what are we doing here? Where are you putting me? But see, God is not going to test you past your capabilities. So he already knows you have the means to pass the test. But the matter is, who are we going to rely on? Because we can either rely on ourselves and quickly fail the test, or we can rely on God's word. And really, it's a matter of realizing who sustains you, who provides for you, and who performs, who acts through the faith. It's not us. It's not us. We think that a lot of times, right? But when we trust, ultimately trust, you realize that who will sustain you, who will act on your behalf, who will perform on your behalf, who will solve the problem on your behalf. I mean, there's so much wrapped up in this trusting. It's unbelievable. I think faith is the biggest part of our Christian way of life. Faith. Because remember, as a baby believer, yes, I love God, I trust in God, but you don't have a whole lot of faith. Actually, you don't even love God because you don't know him. You don't know him. It's a good thought. I love God. Yeah, that's fine, right? But you have to know someone before you can love them. And that's why faith grows the more you get to know somebody. Because, see, God has laid out his word for us, and we say, okay, I see what he's saying. You remember, this is the mind of Christ. We are picking his mind, so we're getting to know him in this way. And we say, wow, he's going to do that. And then you see that it's true. What do you begin to do? You trust. You trust more and more and more. It's just like people, except we never get to the point where we can trust each other 100% because we have sin natures. But this is God we're talking about. It just takes spending time with him. It takes picking his brain, getting to know him, you know? So, it's not really, I know we hear it a lot as just something we say, you know, that, oh, that person is so faithful or they live by faith. You know, I'm a faithful believer. We hear that a lot, don't we? It's a word that's tossed around a lot. It's a word that's tossed around, but this is something that really requires spiritual substance in your soul. It really does. You cannot function on faith without anything in your soul. It's not going to happen. Because the reality of it is you're always going to go back to your own capabilities, your own powers, your own abilities to do something, to fix the problem. And all it does is bring stress to you, anger, frustration. Nothing's ever right. You're always dissatisfied. See, that's the difference. See, it only gets better the more you trust. So if we are going to live by faith or function by it every day, by trusting God, making decisions because you know God on a personal level, and you realize he alone upholds his end of the deal, then you must develop it. It has to be developed. Faith is developed. We heard the analogy, it's like a muscle. You got to lift weights. You got to work out. You got to be tested. God has to throw the test your way. And that's why this person came in my life. That's why this situation. That's why my job changed. That's why you name it. Everything is a test. Everything. It's just a matter of how we handle the test. That's the issue. So, you notice in your bulletin insert, this is one of the points. It says, the strongest, best established faith is that which is the result of the Christian edification. That's the Christian growth process. That's the Christian growth process right there. What we're doing right now. It says that process by which a believer is rooted and built up in his spiritual life. It refers to Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And then it says one of the most important results of Christian growth is the progressive increase in the believer's ability to use faith. To use faith. You have faith. You trust in God. But when it comes to really using it, that's all that matters. That's really all that matters. Is can we trust? Can we believe? Not just say it. Or not just be faithful and not really be able to use it. There's a difference there. There's a big difference. You know, there's what brings that difference out is the circumstance. That will test whether the faith is true or whether the faith is not. Is circumstance. There's always things that we hope we don't have to face in our lives. Oh, I hope I just never have to face that one thing. Believe it or not, you can. When it's not you doing it, guess what? You can. And the reality is, if God wants to present that in your life, that should make you even more confident. That, hey, it's here. This is not an accident. God knows each and everything that has been placed in your life. And he provides it for a reason. Whether that reason is for your discipline or for your growth, that's on each of y'all. Only you know your situation and where you're at and what is in your life, but you know the solution. You know what direction to go with that, and you know how to handle that. We're talking about faith. We're talking about faith. You can get through anything in this life by believing and trusting in God. Everything. Every single thing. And that's why the Bible encourages and de-emphasizes reliance on myself, on yourself. It de-emphasizes that. Through Christ, in Christ, by God, through the Holy Spirit. You notice everything It's not pointing directly to me to have me do anything as the source. It's always pointing to God, always pointing to the spiritual. We're instruments. We're instruments of God. We're believers in Jesus Christ, and He uses us to work through you. To work through you. So, but when we do emphasize trusting in ourselves, what happens? We have to realize that there's a lot of baggage with that. There's a lot of baggage with that. Because we all know people who take on everything in life upon themselves as they go. They carve paths in life. They try to solve every problem. And what ends up happening is it can't be sustained. It can't be sustained. The pressure, the stress, it's too much. We are not designed, you see what I mean? We're not designed to handle these things. Even though we think we can, we're not designed to. So when we take them on, we're going out of our design. God has designed you to use His power, to use His Holy Spirit, to use Him. That's His design. So one way to look at this is stay in the design that you were designed to be. Remember, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And once you're a believer, that's why it says work it out. Because live by design. God has provided us so much in His Word. So much. I can't even get it all in my whole lifetime if I live to 150. And that's encouraging to me. I think that's neat. But it just goes to show the point, we can't ever stop. We don't ever get to that point where in our spiritual life where we just come to a brick wall and say, okay, I've learned enough. It only gets better. It only gets better. And it keeps getting better. That's one of the joys about the spiritual life. You know, in a movie, you watch a movie, it can only get so good and then the movie ends. You know what I mean? This doesn't end. This is stuff that we're taking into eternity with us. I mean, this is, it's crazy. If you think about it, what did God design here? What are we doing? This is real life. This is what it is. And we are packing our bags, not only to live happily in this life, but also for eternity. These have eternal repercussions of you and the people around you, because you have an influence around people. You influence people in positive ways or negative ways. And that's another thing that we can be alert to when we have that respect, that fear and trembling, is how am I affecting that person? How am I affecting this person when I get in the situation? Is it negatively? Am I always bringing them down? We are not supposed to be the ones that do that. Remember, there's plenty of other people that do that. We're supposed to be, as the verse says, lights in the world. And that, what does that entail? Is not being the one that brings someone down or makes them allow to stumble on a test. That's not part of being a light. So, and really there's no comparison there between, you know, the faith rest life and then trusting in yourself. There really is no comparison. But we all do that. We kind of switch back and forth. And you will learn, and I will learn, as we move forward, that we get better. We get more on the faith side and less on the trusting in self side as you move. Because you have to. There's no other way around it. Because remember, you're doing something unsustainable if you trust in self. Unsustainable. And you can't sustain that. So eventually you'll either realize, okay, I got to do something different. Sometimes it gets to the point where God has to take you home because we can't seem to flip the switch to trust, to grow spiritually, and to ultimately fulfill His plan in our lives. But that's hopefully no one here. We want to keep growing momentum, keep going in that direction. But there is something called the sin unto death, where we can stay out of being perpetual, out of fellowship for a certain amount of time, where God will say, okay, you know, I've been waiting, and it's time to take you home, because you can't do me any good down there. So I would rather you take you up to be with me. And that's love, too. Even though we may say, oh, they died so young, they died early. No, they didn't. They died at the right time, because God was actually protecting them from themselves. And he wanted them to enjoy a better life than they ever would have had here, because they chose not to have it. And remember, that is fair game. That's what the free will decision's all about. And God, that's grace. That is grace. Think about that. Why not just leave them here to make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision until they're 100 years old? That's a good question. Because it's grace. There is no explanation to it. Because God loves that person as a believer. And he knows what direction they're going to go. And he's saying, okay, your time's up. You got to come home. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by what we see. Not by what we see. And you remember the definition of faith? Faith is belief in the unseen. And our life has to reflect that. Our life has to reflect that. We get caught up on what I can see. What can I see? I want to see it. You got proof? That's not how the spiritual life functions. That's why a lot of people have a problem with it. Because in order for me to trust, I'm built as a human being from a child to go off things that I see. But the Word of God says we walk by faith, not by the physical things we see. That has nothing really to do with it. It might give you clues as to what God is doing in your life, but it has nothing to do with whether you trust Him or not. Nothing at all. It actually should allow you to get closer to Him by what's happening in your life. So, because, you know, if we're ever going to get to that point, if we're going to ever let God do the work in your life, you have to trust that He has the ability to do it. You've got to. You're basically saying, God, this is too big for you. This is too big for you. I'll go ahead and take this one on. No. That is not, that is, logic has gone flip. But we do that. We do that. You've got to trust Him. And each and every time, what does He do? He does what He says He will do. He does what He says He will do. Not what we want Him to do. He does what He says He will do. And that has to do with His work and His will. You can't say God does what He does when you're outside of His plan. God will provide when I'm outside of His plan. Oh, this is a little uncomfortable. God, can you fix this and I'll keep going on with my life? That's not how that works. When you're in tune, when you're growing spiritually in the plan of God, guess what? He will continue to provide. Because He knows that you are faithful, and He pushes right back on you with more faith. Grace after grace after grace. And I keep mentioning stuff like this, but faith is just so important, because we can apply it each and every day. Each and every day we can apply it to here. We can apply it to at our house. We're talking about trusting in God. We can apply it to our friends. We can apply it to bad situations in the school, with parents, relationships, family relationships. Who are you trusting? Are you trusting on one person and another person to bring that relationship back together? If you are, you're trusting in people. You're trusting in what you can see. God can fix that problem so fast, it's not even funny. And he will, and he's waiting to. But it requires opening up the trust, opening up the pattern and saying, God, I know you will do it. And that is easier said than done. Why? Because it requires you to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. I'm not saying go to sleep. I'm saying mentally, just stop. Give it to him and move on. That's how we do that. See, if you would completely trust him, you would give him the problem and you say, I can't deal with it anymore. But what do? We keep going back to it. We keep going back to it. That's not trusting. God keeps trying to come down, come and help. Keep trying to show you grace, but then you keep saying, no, God, I got this. You keep taking back the problem, taking it back, taking it back. So I think that's a pretty good place to stop. And then when we come back, we'll see, we'll take a look at what this, the God who is working in you is all about. So let's go ahead and close in prayer, take a break, and come back. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for everything you've done today in our lesson. We know that you provide things that are timely, even though when we're not sure that we may need them, or we know that your timing is always right, and we trust that. And I thank you for just providing the words and the scriptures and just having the ability to back everything up that you say in your word. That's truly a blessing. And most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, we wouldn't have access to these things that we've been talking about. We wouldn't have any access to the spiritual life. We wouldn't have any access to eternity, because sin is what separated us from you. And we have that. But you provided a way to pay the penalty for that sin on our behalf, and you did that through Jesus Christ, because you knew we couldn't pay the penalty. We're not perfect, we're sinners. So Christ came to the earth as a perfect God and man, and he lived 33 years, and he died on the cross, and he died spiritually, and he died physically on our behalf. And why did you provide that? Because you said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That cross is applied to our lives on our behalf, the penalty applied to our sin, because he paid it. That's grace. We thank you so much for that. And thank you for the ability to simply believe, to step in this life that we have. Thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.